Let's all stand for the reading of God's holy word. We're coming down to the last verse, and I've been looking forward to coming to this last verse in this particular message and series. God will take care of you. And if God has taken care of you yesterday, and he did, and by the way, I can speak on this and preach on this with great authority. First of all, based upon the authority of the Word of God, but God does allow us in our faith journey to experience him and experience his word in a very realistic and practical way. And you're looking at a man who has been preaching the gospel by faith for most of 40 years, raised a family of 9, and got 4 of the 7 children through college, all living by faith in God, not working a secular job. And I can tell you with great authority and assurance that God will take care of you, because God has taken care of me and everybody in my household. We have never missed a meal. We've always had a place to stay, and we've always had our utilities on. With the exception of a few times we had to catch it up and pay it and so forth. But that's mostly our fault. God has taken care of us. God will therefore take care of you. And if God has taken care of you in your yesterdays, God will take care of you today. And God will take care of you tomorrow. And so therefore, you don't need to worry about today. You don't have to fret about yesterday. And you certainly do not have to be worried about tomorrow. God will take care of you, part 10. The Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, Day 555, since January the 20th, 2017. Day 922, since January the 1st, 2016. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Therefore I say unto you, Jesus said, take no thought for your life. Don't even take thought for your life. Some of you are worried about how long you're going to live. How are you going to die? How will the funeral expenses be taken care of? I'm reminded of a man this week. He found out he was going to die of cancer. And so he had a yard sale. Bless his heart. Bless his heart. He had a yard sale to raise money for his funeral. Bless his heart. He's more responsible than most of us. He has taken the reality of death very seriously, and he does not want to leave any debt behind or put his family through anything. So he had a yard sale in preparation for his funeral. Maybe some of us need to do that. We need to at least take our death seriously and prepare for that in every way. Therefore I say unto you, Jesus said, take no thought for your life. Stop worrying about your life. God created your life. God has sustained your life to this point, and God will do with your life what he will. Amen, somebody. What ye shall eat, don't worry about that. God's got your back. Or what ye shall drink, don't worry about that. God's got your back. Nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Stop worrying about that. Chris Cuomo, the CNN announcer, I guess he's been watching me. I've been wearing black suits every time I preach for many years. I know that most people think preachers ought to be styling, and I don't think so. I don't think we need to be bothered with that at all. Just put on a black suit and a black tie, black shirt or white shirt like I'm doing this morning. This is the only time I style, when I put on a white shirt with a black tie. And he said the other night, he said the reason why he wears black all of the time on television is because, number one, he does not know how to style. He's not big on dressing. And then number two, he's got the money. He has his budget. CNN pays for his clothing, by the way. He's got the money to dress in a new suit every night. But he chooses not to. And then he said he wears a black suit because it reflects the times. The times are dark. The times are terrible. And I understand that. That's one of the reasons why I wear a black suit, because the times call for, we don't need no gay clothing on in this day and time. These are somber times, sober times. And that's gay in the truest sense of the word. Jesus said, "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" Seriously, if God is going to take care of the animals and the birds, certainly God will take care of you. The birds and the animals have enough sense to cry out to God. You need to cry out to God and look to God like the animals do. The animal kingdom for your provision. Pray. And we're the only ones on earth who are so proud and arrogant. And I saw this word today, I don't know if it's a word or not, unhumble people. And we want to try to do everything ourselves, don't we? We want to make it happen ourselves so that we can take all of the credit, so that we don't have to answer to nobody. And God's not going to let you do that, by the way. If you're a true child of God, He will let you know that you are dependent upon Him, whether you like it or not. Every preacher worth his salt knows it. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? You can't do it. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Now remember, God promises that He will take care of your need. He does not say anything about all of your wants and your desires. Now, if you are obedient, you're faithful, and the Lord is number one in your life, after a while, by and by, unlike most parents, our true Heavenly Father will give you even the desires of your heart. Now, I know about that too. Not only has God supplied our needs, God has abundantly blessed me particularly with the desires of my heart beyond my wildest imaginations, and certainly above what I deserve. And I don't deserve anything but hell. Listen to me when I tell you, my mother said it, and we're not the best of friends. I love my mother and she loves me, but we're not tight. And But be that as it may, and I respect my mother and I appreciate my mother, but I'm saying this because I want you to know, for her to say this, it meant a lot. As she observed my life and how what God has done with my life since I have been saved, she said, "Son, God has been good to you." Back over here. "God has been good to you." My mother told me that. And others have told me that as well, looking from the outside in. And anybody who knows anything about my life knows that God has been extremely good to me. And I'm already dead, in the sense of what Paul said, die daily. And but I am ready for the rapture. I'm ready for death. That's how good God has been to me. What I'm doing now is all gravy. It's all God's grace. I have pretty much done all that God has called me to do. And I'm just having fun now after climbing the mountain by the grace of God. And I want for my children, and I want for young people today, the so-called millennials, to experience the same thing I experienced. Yes, the trials, the tribulations, the dark nights, the painful times, the difficult times. As I look at them now, they were all beautiful. And, man, I can tell you stories. My wife can tell you stories. My children can tell you stories of what God has done for me down through the years, and thus for our family. And some of the people in my family are my enemies, but we're still intact and we're still together. And they will still have to say, "Man, God has blessed my father and us." And I have often told them that I have never known of a family more blessed than our family. I'm sure there are, but I cannot imagine any, because I'm here to tell you, my beloved, that God will take care of you. Don't you doubt it one minute. Some of you young preachers who are struggling in your marriages and in your ministry, and things seem dim. Some of you young people, right now, you don't know which way to go or what to do. You don't know what God is doing. You just have faith in God and take the next available step. That's it. That's all you're going to see up the stairway to heaven. He's not going to show you all the steps. So have faith in God, as Jesus said. "And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these." These are the words of the Master, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Emmanuel, God with us. These are the very words of God himself while he was on earth. "Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not..." You got to understand, he's saying here that grass, which pretty much meaneth nothing, if you will, it has its purpose, grass of the field, which today is, you see it, oh, how beautiful. And then somebody goes and cuts the lawn and throws it in the trash, or throws it in the oven to burn up, or whatever the case might be. In other words, he was here today, gone tomorrow. That's very insignificant. "Shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" Here's where God has a problem, and where Jesus has a problem with us, people of little faith. Isn't it amazing how God can provide, and God can answer prayers, and God can bless, and God can deliver, and the people, the "oh ye little faith" people, still have little faith. They're still fretting and worried, not only about tomorrow, but this evening. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink? Don't even, not only not worry about it, don't even think about it. Have you ever had somebody, God has blessed you with somebody who said, listen, don't you worry about it. Don't even think about it. I got that covered. You squared away for the next 6 months. Okay, so don't even think about it. That's what God is saying to you. I got you covered for your whole life. Not only not worry about it, don't fret about it, don't think about it. Give it no thought. My baby daughter texts me when I'm out and reminds me to pass out gospel tracts, and when I text back always, and I always text her back, maybe an hour later sometimes, or longer, or early, or soon, I try to do it as soon as possible. And I make sure I do it when we're actually passing out gospel tracts. And oftentimes I'll say, consider it done. That's what God is saying to you. Consider it done. Don't you even think about it. Don't even think about how you're going to make it. Consider it done. I'm God. Don't even give it any thought, man. That's an insult to me for you to think about that, that I would create you. I can't hear nobody. That's an insult to me. That's an affront to me. That I would create you and bring you into this world and not take care of you. Don't do me like that. Don't front me like that. Don't diss me like that. God is saying, you worried about it. I don't even want you to think about it. If I can provide a worm for a bird every day, I can provide some beans and rice for you. Amen, somebody. And beans and rice are very good when you're hungry. Yes, they are. And then if you can throw some ramen noodles in there with it, you got something going on real good. You got something going on real good. Provided by God for under $5. Depending on the size of your family. O ye of little faith. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Stop thinking about that. Stop worrying about that. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, the lost people seek, the non-religious people seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Your heavenly Father, he knows. So why would you disrespect him to think that he would not provide for you these things? I believe with all of my heart that a Christian man or a Christian woman can leave their family home and go out by faith. If they have faith in God, at least the faith of a mustard seed, God will take care of them with nothing. Nothing in their hands. No money, nothing. No, listen to me. I'm not telling what I think. I'm telling what I know. I have no doubt that God would take care of me no matter what happens. My family would tell you, even after disasters and things happen. One time we had a fire and a house was burned down to the ground. By the way, God preserved all of the Bibles. We had hundreds of Bibles in the house, and God preserved all the Bibles. But very little else. And my family would tell you, I had the same joy. I had the same peace. I had the same faith. I had the same confidence. And God took care of us and put us in even a better place. Verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word expounded upon already in the power of your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit. For we are reminded again this morning that it is not by might nor by power our strength, but by my Spirit saith the Lord. Lord, every preacher worth his salt feels weak before preaching. They don't feel overly confident. They don't know how they're going to get it done again. But somehow, some way, you show up in the preaching hour and you do it again and again and again because your oil never runs out. And your stuff is fresh every day. And you give the preacher new stuff that he has never thought about or studied in his study. And you give him what Paul prayed for, and that is utterance, the ability to get the message out clearly and in a powerful way, so that lives are altered and changed and lost souls are saved. Now, Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, increase the faith of these people and the hundreds out there who are viewing on multiple streams, some more than others. And we thank you, Lord, for the hundreds who come each and every day. And we pray that you would bless them and comfort them and strengthen them. And some are even, unfortunately, watching us while they're in church someplace else right now, and they should not do that. And but others don't have a church to go to where they are, and they have joined us. We thank you for all of the amens, all of the likes that they give us in the hundreds and thousands on some days. And we give you the glory, praise, and honor, and all of that goes to you. It is a big thank you and a big amen to you, not to us, and to your, it's to your holy word. And we thank you for what you have done, what you are doing, and what you will do. We thank you for providing for us all of these many years and today. And we know that you will provide for us if there is a tomorrow. And now, Lord, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that the devil is seeking to devour us and to destroy us through enemies, even in my own family, Judases, even in our own ministry, and through Sanballats and Tobiases, Alexander the coppersmith, and Demases and Demetriuses all around us. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would rebuke and bind the spirit of the devil working in and through them. And I pray that they would cease trying to stop us and hinder us, and help us to say with Nehemiah, I am doing a great work, and I cannot come down to deal with such foolishness. And Lord, I pray that you would cast out the devil, his demons, and his host, and the satanic spirit of Judas, betrayal, and sabotage, and foolishness out of the hearts and minds and lives of those people who have it, whether they know it or not. And we pray that through it all, lost souls would be able to hear the gospel and be saved. Christians would be revived, your holy name glorified, and Jesus Christ exalted, and Satan always horrified, through the name of Jesus Christ and through the precious blood of Christ, for it is in his name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, Charles Spurgeon said today, Charles Spurgeon said, today will require all the vigor and energy we have to deal with its immediate evils. There can be no need to import cares from the future, that is tomorrow. To load today with trials, and only Spurgeon can say it like this. Only Spurgeon can say it like this right here. To to load today with trials not yet arrived, my God, help us, would be to overload it. Anxiety is evil, but anxiety about things which have not yet happened is altogether without excuse. Amen, somebody. Only Spurgeon can say it like that. You can't say it like that. Only Spurgeon can say it like that right there. That's worth the admission of your being here today. Take it with you. Stop carrying trials and burdens and temptations and troubles that have not even arrived yet. My God, help us all. William Cowper said, quick is the succession of human events. The cares of today are seldom the cares of tomorrow. And when we lie down at night, we may safely say to most of our troubles, you have done your worst, and we shall meet no more. Beloved, in this passage, this powerful passage, and all of the passages in the Bible are powerful, we have a promise from Jesus Christ, our Lord, that our Heavenly Father will take care of us on this earth. And I lie not to you. Not only do I know that to be true from the Word of God, but I know that from experience. God called me to preach some 40 years ago, and God wanted me to be full-time, even though I fought God. Even not only did I fight him on the calling, because you must understand, the last thing I wanted to do on earth was preach the gospel. Why? Because my dad, Daniel White Jr., was a preacher and well-known on television. And you don't know anything about that kind of thing when your dad is a popular preacher and you're the preacher's son and you're carrying his name. If you have never experienced that, you don't know anything about that while you're going through middle school and high school trying to live down the goody two shoes thing. And that's why people say that most preachers' children are the worst, because they're constantly trying to fit in with the crowd. And so they have to be the most evil. And I was that, all of that. No doubt. And so I used to curse and swear when people would bring up, you're going to be a preacher like your dad. I used to curse and swear, I'll never be a preacher. In fact, I'm going to drive the bus to hell. I actually said those words. And here now, for 40 years, I have been preaching against hell and preaching about hell, trying to warn people from going to hell. The other thing I fought God on is I fought him on trying to work and be a preacher. I wanted my own money. I wanted my own I wanted control on how much ministry I was going to do, and I wanted my own money so I can do as I please. And God dealt with me about that and made it very clear, that's the reason why I don't want you to work. I want you totally 100% dependent upon me, so that when you cross me or you disobey me, I can chastise you and punish you and make you help you to understand that you are 100% dependent upon me. So you better do right. And I want you to be full-time. He made it clear to me by saying, Daniel, somebody needs to be full-time for me. And I said, are you talking about me, though? Surely you're talking about somebody else. No, I want you. And so every little job I would take, trying to, it wouldn't work. It just didn't work. He did not bless it at all. The more jobs I took, the further we got behind. When I relinquished the jobs, that he opened up the windows of heaven, poured out blessings I didn't have enough room to receive, to show me that I can take care of you. So not only is this real to me from the Bible, from the Word of God, is real to me by experience. I've experienced God in this not only for 4 years, 40 years. My wife has as well. My children have, all seven of them, by faith in God. Sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, we do not live as though we believe this promise in the Word of God. We worry and fret about the most fundamental things of life, the basics of life, eating, drinking. And we're talking about water here right now. Wine is, in many cases, not an everyday thing. In most cases, it's mostly a celebratory delight. And clothing, when instead we should be seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness, which is what Jesus instructs us to do. And in verse 34, Jesus summarizes His discourse with this powerful statement. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now, beloved, is Jesus telling us not to think about tomorrow at all? Not necessarily. The Greek word translated as think in this verse is defined as fretting and worrying. Literally, it means to draw in different directions. You should not be worried about tomorrow. Of course, it's okay for us to prudently plan for and prepare for the future. In fact, there are some verses in the Bible that point us in that direction. But Jesus is telling us that we should not allow the future to make us worry, to ruin our peace, to make us fretful, or, if you will, to tear us apart today. Isn't it foolishness to deal with what's going on today? And if you are a child of God, serving God for real, you are going to have some things that pop up every day of your life that you have to deal with. Isn't it the height of foolishness to try to anticipate and worry about the things that might pop up tomorrow, the next day? And so many people do it. Regarding this passage, Dr. Warren Wiersbe writes, worrying about tomorrow does not help either tomorrow or today. If anything, it robs us of our effectiveness today, which means we will be even less effective tomorrow. Someone has said that the average person is crucifying himself between two thieves. the regrets of yesterday and the worries about tomorrow. What a sad life to live. It is right and good to plan for the future in certain areas, and even to save for the future in certain areas of life. But it is a sin to worry about the future and permit tomorrow to rob today of its blessings. End of quote, and he's right. Jesus tells us that tomorrow will contain enough trouble, enough problems for itself, with its temptation to worry. The only moment you can control is the moment you are in right now. I don't know what happened in Indonesia, but somebody dropped the ball. Basically, they're saying that someone issued a warning of a tsunami, and then they called the warning off. And so hundreds and thousands went back to their daily activities. If you watch the tragic video, and there's another one that gives a better view now of what happened. Some people just driving down the road, probably to the store, not aware of a 10-foot wave coming up out of the ocean to wipe them away. There was no way that they could anticipate that the day before. And let me just share with you, you have some tsunamis coming your way, and you cannot anticipate those things. There are some things you can plan for, such as if you're going to retire. I don't believe preachers should retire, but workers, people who've been working on a job for 40 years, doing the same old, if you're planning on retiring and buying an RV and traveling the nation, you better save for that. You're very wise to do that if the Lord tarries his coming and you live. It's okay to plan for death. Some men get life insurance for their wife and children, so that their wife and children can start praying for his death as soon as possible, so that they can get the $1 million paycheck and so forth. That's good. If you want to take care of your family in that way, go ahead and plan for that and pay your $55 a month and make sure that when you die, your family is taken care of. But there are some tsunamis and earthquakes coming that you cannot prepare for. And when they come, you don't need to worry about it. You just need to face it and deal with it, because earthquake days are coming. Tsunami days are coming. And that's why Paul tells us to do everything we can, to pray always and to do everything we can to stand in the evil day. Peter tells us, don't be shocked, don't be startled when the devil shoots at you and attacks you. It happens from time to time to all Christians. Don't let the devil's roaring rattle you. But earthquake days are coming. Typhoon days are coming. Japan right now is facing their sixth typhoon in 1 year. Sometimes the troubles come double or quadruple They just keep coming in like waves, pun not intended. Job knows about it. Wave after wave was knocking Job. But Job said, though he slay me, yet shall I trust in him. Amen, somebody. How about it, dear Christian? You got hit with one wave and you were gone and you were out for the count. One wave, one little wave, 3 feet. You're down and you're done. And you say with the folks on Shark Tank, I'm out. I'm out. I'm not going to continue. I'm out. I'm out. Pastor, I called the pastor. There's no need to come, but I'm out. I'm out. I'm through. Okay? If you want to pray for me, you can, but I'm out. Worrying about the next day or the next week or the next month or the next year is a sure path to debilitating anxiety, watch this, depression. And I believe that there is a progression in this. I don't know what it is. My oldest daughter, Danny, I'm sure knows very well, for she's one of the few students that I know. She read almost every book as she went through college and took copious notes that are absolutely amazing. But there's a progression: anxiety, then depression, and then the big one, hopelessness. When you have hopelessness in your life and then you're lonely as well, the next thing is suicidal thoughts. And by the way, people, if you are in that state, please don't take some of the medications that we hear about on television that say that if you take this medication, one of the side effects will be you'll have suicidal thoughts. Please don't take that. Whatever that is, whatever your ailment is, don't take that medication. Please. I believe we have more people dying, killing themselves because they're taking medication that makes them suicidal. My God, help us. And some of you all need to leave sleeping pills alone. Tylenol PM, Excedrin PM, anything with a PM, you need to leave it alone. Because you might get some sleep, but you might wake up suicidal and depressed, defeated and disgusted. You don't need any help with that, by the way. The devil is on that 24/7. And may God help you if you're lonely. Many, many Christians today are lonely. They go to church, yet they're still lonely. They're having sex with somebody when they shouldn't, and yet they are still lonely. Because that's just a sex buddy. They don't care anything for you once they are through using your body, particularly you women. Men will go to the next woman as dogs. Anxiety plus depression plus hopelessness plus loneliness is a toxic mix that is ending up with many people killing themselves. There are some suicide outfits that receive phone calls trying to keep people from killing themselves. As soon as they hang up the phone, in fact, some people are calling and the phones are tied up. They're getting the voicemail. They're so busy. So many people are thinking about killing themselves. That's a demonic thing going on, people. Some of you parents are facing that today. Allow me to tell you about a father whose daughter wanted to die through one of those non-eating diseases, anorexia. She just kept talking about it, kept doing it. Her father, who was a news anchor, just got fed up with the whole thing one day and said, okay, darling, okay, honey, if that's what you want to do, you want to die through anorexia or this eating disease, let's get it on. Let's get to it and let's get done. Let's get it done with. It shocked the young lady so much that it shocked her back into her right mind. And that daughter, loved by her father, is still alive today. And she stopped that foolishness. I'm convinced that some people need a shocking back into their right minds by somebody who loves them and who will tell them the truth. Listen to me very carefully. The devil is seeking whom he may devour. And the best remedy for people who have gotten to the point of hopelessness is to tell them, give them a great shot of truth. And particularly from the Christian perspective, help them to understand that once they pull the trigger to blow their brains out, they're going straight to hell. You say, preacher, I can't believe you said that. Well, I said it. Because there are some who will respond positively to that. Certainly there are some who will not. But as Paul said, we need to be about the business of saving some. And we may not be able to save all, but we need to save some. And some need a good a shot of truth from the Word of God, and to help them understand that the only somebody who killed themselves in the Bible is Judas. And there was some falling on the sword and so forth and so on, but as certainly in the New Testament, it was Judas. And nobody killed themselves for good reason. And anxiety, worrying, fretting. See, this is why Jesus told you not to worry and fret. Because it leads to depression. It leads to hopelessness. And hopelessness is one of the most dangerous things in the world. This is why politicians, they always run on what? Not love, but hope. They sell hope to get your vote, because they know people can live without food for a while. People can even live without water for a little while. But nobody can live without hope. Hopelessness takes a whole lot of folk out. And worrying about tomorrow leads to depression and hopelessness. A soldier in battle has to focus on the enemy he is fighting at the present time. Amen, somebody. Not the enemy he might face tomorrow. The Dallas Cowboys today, who will be playing shortly, the Detroit Lions, I understand, they would do well to focus on the Detroit Lions and beat them today and not worry about the game next week. That will take care of itself, as Jesus said. He has, or we have, evil before us right now that we must deal with. Amen, somebody. Another evil might arise tomorrow, and it will, by the way. Oh, yes, it will. Some of you want to just get all your temptations and trials and tribulations over in one day and just be through with it. It doesn't work that way. Life with God is a daily thing, my dear friends. And you will have challenges each and every day. So another evil might arise tomorrow. And he can deal with that at that time. And we can deal with it at that time. Some of us create trouble for ourselves by trying to jump ahead of God and meddle in a future that only he knows about. You don't know about tomorrow. You don't know what tomorrow brings. How dare you try to step ahead of God? You surely don't know what's going to happen next week. And surely you don't know what's going to happen next year. But if you look back, you will find that God has taken care of you for the thousands of days you've already lived. If we truly trust that God will take care of us, then we must trust that he will take care of us tomorrow. And if the future involves trouble and or evil, as most surely it will, then we know that the Lord's mercies, amen somebody, are new every morning. Every morning. I believe that's one of the reasons why most of us love the mornings, the early mornings. Those of us who love getting up before light. It's a beautiful time of the day. And he will give us sufficient grace to deal with the evil of that day. Walking with God is a daily thing, and you need to be patient along with whatever God allows in your life. God requires daily walking with him. God requires us to be patient and to wait on him. It's not a sprint. It's a journey, yea, a marathon, dear friends. You can only take one step at a time. Please remember that. I know you want to jet yourself on up the staircase to heaven, but it doesn't work that way. You might get to a step, and then for several days, you might not see another step. It's clouded over. It's there, but you can't see it because God has hid it from you. Because he wants you, listen to me very carefully, he wants you to get something straightened out in your life. He wants you to stay right there, right where you are, until you get that evil out of you, that lying out of you, that rebelliousness out of you, that stubbornness out of you, your effeminate ways out of you, your lustful ways, your fornication out of you, your adultery out of you, your sneaking attitude. You want to get married on that next step? Well, get rid of that nasty attitude that only you and God know about. And some parents need to start telling their future son-in-laws and future daughter-in-laws the truth about their children before they get married. By the way, you know why you're still on that step. God knows why. God is hidden it from other people by his grace. But he wants you to correct that. He wants you to correct the fact that you, on demand, can't be pleasant, choose not to be pleasant. On demand, you choose not to be cheerful and joyful. That means when you get up in the morning, you're pleasant, cheerful, and joyful. When you go to bed at night, you're that way. And you're to the point in your life as a single person where you don't snap at people like an alligator. Out of the blue, out of nowhere. That's why you're still on that step. You can't see any other steps. God's not going to let you climb until you get that straightened out. So that you won't scare your future mate, and when he was sitting, he's sitting down on the bed, hoping for a romantic night, and he turns around and said, "Excuse me, I've never seen that before. I never heard that." Snap! What? Where's it? Oh, honey, I'm sorry. Something came back on me that I used to have in my life. I thought it was gone, but you just crossed me. You said something that I didn't like, and I just went back to my old ways. Oh, excuse me. That's why you're on that step, because you still got the alligator in you. Okay? Get that alligator out. Anyway, someone wrote something very beautiful in this regard. Each day God sends His grace to strengthen you and me. We need to use today's supply and let tomorrow be. And then I'm reminded of a hymn by James Rowe titled, "God Holds the Future in His Hands." Dread not the things that are ahead, the burdens great, the sinking sands, the thorns that over the path are spread. God holds the future in His hands. We know not what tomorrow hides, of sun or storm or good or ill. We only know His dear hand guides, and He will be our Father still. God holds the future in His hands, and every heart He understands. On Him depend, He is your friend. He holds the future in His hands. Amen, somebody. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise You and we thank You, Lord, for taking care of us in the past, and we all know You have. The great economist, I think Adam Smith is his name, talked about the invisible hand. And Lord, we have experienced that wonderful invisible hand, Your hand, Holy Father God, down through the years, every last one of us. And Lord, it is a shame that we have forgotten Your invisible hand. It is a shame that we have forgotten the thousands upon thousands of meals You have provided for us each and every day. And we have forgotten the hundreds of miracles that brought the food in every day. And so, therefore, we have not been as thankful as we should be. And we know that this offends You. And we should apologize and confess our sins and repent if we have been that way. Lord, have mercy and grace upon us all, and forgive us for not only worrying about today and worrying about tomorrow, but forgive us for not being thankful for the thousands of yesterdays that You looked out for us. You had our back. You have provided for us our needs, and for some of us, You have blessed us with our desires. And we give You the glory, praise, and honor. Forgive us of our sins. Help us to repent of our sins. Help us to never worry or fret about today or tomorrow again. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, today, if you are with us, and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in Him for salvation from sin and hell. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have done evil in God's sight. So have I. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." You're guilty and I'm guilty. We all have done wrong in God's sight. I'm sure that you will recognize the fact that you have broken some of the Ten Commandments of God. You have lied before. You have lusted after or coveted somebody else's wife or somebody else's material things, or husband or children or manservant or maidservant. You have taken God's name in vain, which he does not like at all. You have worshipped other little g gods, which God says he is jealous, very jealous. He does not like it. You have dishonored your parents. You have disrespected your parents. You don't love your parents. And on, let's be real. Let's admit that we have done these things in God's sight. Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. See, this is the payment for our sins, death. Life is not a game, my dear friend. Your life will end because of sin. Your body will be planted 6 feet under one day if you live long enough. And by the way, you could die today at a young age. The people are dropping all over this world by the hundreds and by the thousands. Over almost 1,000 have died in a earthquake typhoon combination just in the past few days. Many have died in our own country through a hurricane. Some are dying right now in a typhoon. Two great police officers died in Mississippi yesterday. Please do not think you're better than they are. You're not. You're not. You're just not. And I'm not. Don't think because you're still here you're better than they are. You're not. So we die physically and our body goes to the grave. We die spiritually and our soul goes to hell if we don't trust Christ as Savior. If you are saved already, then you'll go to heaven if you have trusted Christ as Savior. You say, well, preacher, I don't believe in hell. Your unbelief, dear friend, does not change the fact that there is a hell. I can tell you that I don't believe in Sydney, Australia, that it exists. But my unbelief would not change the fact. Just because I have not been to Sydney doesn't mean that Sydney does not exist. Just because you have not been to hell yet does not change the fact that hell is real. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than any preacher in the Bible and all preachers today. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Hell is a sad place. The Bible also says in Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I hope that makes it clearer for you as to who is going to hell. Did you see yourself? Now, hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you, shared with us by the same Jesus Christ who taught us about hell. He said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He was talking about himself. Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. That whosoever, be you black, white, red, or yellow, born at any time in history, whosoever, means any time, anybody at any time, believeth in him, that is Jesus Christ, should not perish, that is perish in hell, but have everlasting life. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He has never sinned, and he took on your sin and became the sacrificial lamb of God to take away the sin of the world, your sins and mine. no matter how ugly our sins are. They have been rolled on Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who never sinned, who died on the cross, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again. And all we have to do is believe in him, because he paid the price. Believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ and pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will save you. And I'll be glad to lead you in that prayer as you're believing on the Lord Jesus Christ right now. You don't have to be in a church to be saved. You don't have to give any money to the church to be saved. You don't have to join a church to be saved. You can get saved right now, this very moment. The Bible says in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a promise. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Follow me in prayer, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner, and that I have broken your Ten Commandments. I've done wrong and evil in your sight, and I understand that I deserve eternal punishment for my sins. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. For I now believe in you. I believe in you that you are the Lamb of God, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Thank you for your grace, your love, and for saving my soul. Now, Lord, please fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past, and to turn from my evil ways, and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, and you pray that prayer and you meant it from your heart, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life. You say, preacher, how you know that it is the most important thing in life? Because I did it myself, the same thing you just did, December 19th, 1979. It's the most important thing in life, Jesus Christ, trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to gospellightsociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com or one of our other receptacles, email receptacles, or some other social media thing that our staff collects, and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.